following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
I want to talk to you about peace tonight. And while I'm thinking about it, I happen to be looking at something on television this afternoon. Jonathan Kahn, I don't know if you're familiar with Jonathan Kahn. He preaches some very powerful messages. And this is what he said. He was talking about Israel. And, of course, we know Israel is going through some trying times right now. And it's true exactly what he says. Israel will not have peace without Jesus. And so one day the Lord Jesus, I think it's in Zechariah 12, it says that Jesus comes back to the earth. And Israel will recognize they are the ones who crucified him. And at that point in time, which is in the future, much in the future, Israel will accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So we know the scripture is true, and we know that one day it will happen. I want to talk to you about peace tonight. And you can go in the Bible and find it in many different places. These Christmas cards, and this verse comes out at scripture where, it says glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And you see a picture of Jesus in the cradle. And there are many songs in the Baptist hymnal that talk about peace. And one of them is, I'll give you some at the end of it, but it says, Peace, Peace, Wonderful Peace, by a guy by the name of W.D. Cornell. But Scripture testifies that our peace will come through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to have, going back a little bit to this morning, in order to have peace in our life, we need to be able to take the Word of God and make the application. And so that's very important. Peace comes through the Word. Paul said in Galatians 5, peace is a fruit of the Spirit. So if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have the foundation, you have the fruit for peace. Isaiah said, God keeps in perfect peace those whose mind is stayed on Him. And so as we think about, and this is the only way I can think about God, is what the Word of God says, you apply it to your life. And Paul said in Philippians 4, in times of strife, God gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding. So in the hard times of life, we can go through it because we have the Word of God ministering to us, and we have the peace of God in our life. We have a friend of ours who just lost her husband about a month ago, and she told us that they were married for probably 60 years, I guess. And she said that she was at peace. And when you lose someone you've lived with and you love for 60 years, you naturally are going to miss them. You better miss me, Judy. But at any rate, she was at peace in her heart. He professed to be a believer. And that's a comfort right there. That's a comfort right there. I mean, does she know he's not there? Does she realize his absence? Yes. But God gives you a peace that surpasses all you can understand, that you had quiet in the heart with God, And so in John 14, I'm going to read you one verse, verse 27. And I think that possibly will be on the overhead. I'm not sure. And this is what he says. Jesus says, peace. Now, Jesus is speaking in John 14. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So he's telling his disciples right here that, when they look to him, he'll have peace. I want to start off by maybe asking a couple of questions here. And the first question would be, what do you want most in your life? Sometimes we don't think about this, but what do you want most in your life? For some, it might be success. And there's nothing wrong with these wants. Don't misunderstand here. Some finances, certainly we'd all like to have a little more money. Friends, many people are lonely. You could be in a crowd and be lonely. Knowledge. I mean, there's a search for knowledge. Technology. Has technology left you behind? Whenever they're going to show the person who is left behind the most by technology, you remember, you can say, well, that's Chuck. They'll have a picture of me because I'm very ignorant when it comes to technology. And what about health? You know, as we grow older, we fade in health and we have health issues and all. So we all want something different here. But how about peace? In all these situations right here, if you have peace, if you have the peace of God in your life, you can sustain the position of the life that you're in with a comfort that God's going to take care of you. And that's so important. At the end of the world, what or your physical life, let me put it that way, what are you taking with you? You don't really take anything. You leave it all behind, and some people leave a lot of accomplishments behind. But death terminates all things except one thing, your relationship spiritually. Do you know God? Do you know Jesus as your Savior, or do you don't? And so we leave this life, we close our physical eyes, and we live spiritually. We live forever. Your spirit and your soul has an eternality in it. And you either go to be with glory of Jesus or you go into torment. And you don't take anything with you. So when we think of life, is all you having right now really giving you peace? Or what you depending in, what you trusting on? Or why don't we just saturate our hearts with the Word of God, where God says that I can furnish joy in your life. I can furnish comfort in your life. Listen, I'm thinking right now, Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. And Paul and Silas are in jail. And at midnight, they're singing praises to God. I mean, they don't have a problem. And you know, Paul wrote 4 of his letters in the New Testament. He wrote them from prison. Philippians is one of them. But at any rate, he wrote them all, from prison. And the only real peace you can have here is from God. Now, I want to read you some quotes for some possibly people that you might know, some famous people. A.B. Simpson, who is a preacher out of the past, and this is what he says about peace. The peace of God is a deeper experience. It's the eternal rest of God taking the place of the restless, troubled sea of our thoughts, our fears, our agitations. And it passes all understanding and keeps the heart and mind in Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in Philippians, the peace of God surpasses all understandings. The late Dr. Charles Stanley wrote this, no one can take your peace from you. If you've lost your peace, no one has taken it. You have surrendered it. So God gives us that promise. Dr. Adrian Rogers, the late Dr. Adrian Rogers, says, God's peace is not a subtraction of problems, but an addition of grace to meet the problems. So our focus now is that when I'm having issues in my life, I need to try to take the Word of God and make some kind of application to my life. Nothing has more value to you, and I might have said it this way, I didn't say it this way this morning, but nothing can have more value to you than the Word of God as the Word of God ministers to you and gives you that comfort. So our subject tonight is peace, and it centers around Jesus Christ, and because he is the source of our peace. Now I'm going to read you John 14:27, and this is what he says. Jesus is speaking, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So this verse takes us back to the beginning of the chapter where Jesus tells his disciples, in John 14, Jesus is getting ready to leave, or he's telling his disciples he'll be leaving and he's going to heaven, but he's coming back. But they didn't understand that. And he tells them, if you believe in God, you believe in me. And he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. So that's current news for us today. Jesus is preparing a place for us. What heaven will look like, I don't know. I think I'm going to start doing a study on heaven because I'm getting closer and closer. So very soon, when you get into the later years of your life, that's something you need to think about, or even in the early years. So what's heaven going to be like? But here he's talking about, I'm the way, the truth, and the life in John 14:6. And he says, no one can come to the Father except through me. Now, you can listen to a lot of programs, religious programming on television. And they give you all kinds of stuff. But the bottom line, folks, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No one comes but through me. And you don't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't manifest it. You can only have faith to believe it. And when you have faith, God transforms, or he transfers the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, to live in us. And he's the one who manifests the presence of God in us. So peace is, it means experience the highest good and enjoying the very best of God that you can have. So what's your problem tonight? And say, Lord, I have this issue in my life. And I just don't know what to do. But I want to bring it to you. And I want to lay it at the altar. I want to lay it at your feet. And I'm going to ask you, Lord, as I read your word, give me something or show me something that will encourage me, that will give me hope, knowing that whatever happens, happens. But it'll be your will for my life. And if it's your will for my life, then it should be my will for me. How do you think Abraham felt when he took his son up onto Mount Moriah to sacrifice him? But he had a belief in God. God told him, listen, the line will come through you. So your son, Isaac, will be the one. Now what if he slaughtered him on the altar of sacrifice? God would have had to bring him back. Of course, we know God wouldn't slaughter people. But at any point, Abraham had faith. He was willing to do it. He raised the knife and God said, stop. I just wanted to see if you were willing to do what I ask you to do. Now, you know, sometimes in your situations of life, God might just be saying, I want you to do something. But he'll say, stop. I just want to know if you would do it. So that's our commitment to God here. So being prosperous spiritually and having a soul that blossoms, we must follow it and walk according to the word of God. Again, we can go back to this morning. There's no substitute for God's word. There's no substitute for it. And if you're not in it on a daily basis, it brings tranquility. And it's independent of your environment. Look what I just spoke about, Paul and Silas in jail, praising God. And what happened? God shook the prison. And he released them. So Jesus is that Prince of Peace. And you know, we see that very much around Christmas time here. At the announcement of the birth to Mary, he says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And that peace right here goes beyond being born again. When you get born again, when you receive Christ, you have peace with God. And that's my first point. It'll be out of Romans chapter 5. So we have 3 points we're going to look at right here. Number one, peace with God. Number two, the peace of God. And number three, the peace from God. So I'm going to look at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And Paul writes this. Therefore, being justified by faith, now that word justify, it means to be pronounced right. When you believed in Jesus, God pronounced you right. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Grace is your gift, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So it comes in by faith. The wrath of God on the sinner is ended when you receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. So what is that wrath of God? That wrath of God is in eternity in a place called hell. Because sin has come into the world, God placed the judgment on sin. And here's the good thing. When Jesus went to the cross, God laid my sin on him. God laid your sin on him. And he died for that sin. He was a sinless person. Understand, he didn't sin in the flesh. He didn't sin as a man. And that's hard to grab. That's hard to understand. And when he went to the cross, God took all my sins. Therefore, being justified, that word justify means to be pronounced right. That means right standing. And so only by faith in Jesus Christ. Paul writes this in Ephesians. He said, Jesus is our peace. We were talking about peace. He has made us one. He says in verse 15 of the second chapter, he overcame the law. Here's a good question for you now. Jesus never violated one of God's rules or God's laws. Can you actually say you've never violated one of God's commandments? How about thou shalt not lie if you're thinking you didn't? You know, we have. And so God knows this. And you know, it's hard to understand why God would think this way. Why didn't God make us all perfect? He didn't. Don't know why. He just didn't. But he did say that we can have perfection spiritually when we come and receive Christ as Lord and Savior. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God sees you as sinless because your sin, past, present, and tomorrow's sin has been laid on Jesus. And he doesn't see it on you. This is a spiritual relationship that you have with God. You have overcome the law in Jesus, God says. And so we're condemned by the commandments, but Jesus actually lived them. And in verse 16 of Ephesians 2, Paul says he reconciles man back to God. Now let me define the word reconcile. God is not reconciled. Man is reconciled. Reconcile means to be brought back. And so when you accept Christ, you strayed. God brings you back. So man is reconciled. God is appeased. I said that this morning. God is appeased. The appeased means to be satisfied. When you said, Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior, God is satisfied with you for doing that. But he's taking you from being away and reconciling you or bringing you back. So he came and he preached peace, the scripture says, and he gave access to God through himself. So the wrath of God on the sinner is removed in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're familiar with Romans chapter 8, in verses 35 to 39, Paul asks this question, and Paul is writing to believers here. So what shall separate us from God? So tribulation or distress, and he names a bunch of things here. And he says nothing separates the believer from God. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, nothing separates you. You might even have sin sometimes in your life. That breaks your fellowship with God. It does not break your relationship to God. But God will deal with you about that now in your life. So we need to be aware of the things that the Bible says that we would probably or try to live as holy. In fact, Peter wrote it this way in 1 Peter chapter 1. This is not a request. This is a command. He says, be ye holy, writing of God. God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. So we need to live as pure and as holy a life as we can. And listen, we need the help of the Holy Spirit to do that. That's why God gave us the Holy Spirit to live in us, to show us, to guide us, and to lead us. So he didn't save you and leave you by yourself. He saved you and he said, this is what I want you to know. This is what I want you to learn. This is what I want you to read. This is what I want you to follow. And this is, I'm looking at a verse right here in chapter 15. It says, and I think I might have quoted that verse this morning, but when the helper, that's the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you, Jesus is speaking from the Father. He's the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will testify of me. He's saying that the Holy Spirit in me testifies of Jesus in me. He confirms and he tells me what this word says. Now, there's many scriptures in the Bible that they're pretty hard to understand. And if you study commentaries on them or different people who, you know, really get into the wording and all, you may find differences. But when it comes to God, there is no difference. God says that I love you, I saved you, I'm keeping you saved, and when you die, I'm taking you home. Psalm 116:15, I believe, is the verse. It says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. So when a Christian dies, you know what the word precious means right there? It means of great value. It's a loss to us when a family member or a loved one dies. But if that person is a believer in Jesus Christ, God says, it's of great value to me. Because he is where he's supposed to be. He is with me. And that's what God's grace does for us. So we see here, we have peace with God that, the barrier is broken down. Now we talk about the peace of God. And I'm going to read you some verses out of Philippians chapter 4. Verses 4 to 7, and Paul is writing this. Again, he writes this from prison. And this is what he says. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God in verse 7, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So he's saying here that he gives us an inner joy when we come to him. You know, we can rejoice and we can praise God. We can put joy in our hearts. When he talks about this gentleness, he's talking about patience and tolerance. Be sensitive, not critical. Now, I need a little lesson here because I can be very critical. So I need to be sensitive to the Word of God. I need to be sensitive how God sees a person and maybe not how I see that person. How many of you here are critical? You don't have to raise your hand. Probably all of you would raise your hand if I ask you to. You're critical about things. And so we even critical most of the time. We don't understand what's taking place and we critical. But God says, don't be that way. Be careful for nothing, he says. And in everything with prayer and supplication. So if you see someone and you want to be critical of them, why don't you say, Lord, how can I pray for that person right now? What can I do for that person right now? Can I lift them up to you in prayer? God will keep in perfect peace those whose mind is stayed on God. Bring our situations to God. And verse 7 says this, and the peace of God, which passes all understandings, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The peace of God is the tranquility of your mind, freeing the believer from fear and worry. And some of the hardest conditions of life, people can be free of worry and have peace with God through it all, that knowing that God is going to take care of it. It may not end or turn out the way you want, but you have to remember God's in charge and God has a purpose for everything. We just don't know, you know. So Paul says that God's peace surpasses our understanding of the problem. And even the ability to cope with that problem. And your issues of your life go to God. So we have the peace with God. We had the peace of God. Now I want to talk about the peace from God. And that'll be out of Romans chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. And Paul writes this right here. Among whom are you also called of Jesus Christ? To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you in peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you look at verse 7, if you have a King James or a New King James Bible, the New American Standard has called as, but anyways, it has called to be. That to be is italicized, is slanted. That means it wasn't there in the original. And it was added to sort of add clarification to the word. Actually, what it does, it sort of takes away from it. So let me read it the way it would be read without the to be. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints. When you receive Jesus Christ, you're not called to be a saint. You are called a saint. Now, are we supposed to act and live like saints, if we can add that to this to be, that means that we're supposed to show people who we are. We are saints, or those who believe in God. One, we must live our life to honor the call. So he says here that a saint is any person who has called or who has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You are called a saint. That word saint means sanctified, set apart. So as a believer, God has set you apart. And that setting apart has a purpose for God. He set you apart that you could serve him and work for him. So the grace and the peace from God is free. It's unmerited here. It's not deserved, but God gives it to us anyway because of what Jesus Christ has done. So here is our possession of this peace. I'm going to read you some verses, and we just saw Romans 5:1. We're justified by faith, and we are pronounced right, and we have peace with God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, God made him, and that's Jesus, to be sin for us, that we could become the righteousness or the rightness of God in Jesus Christ. So God again sees us as acceptable in Jesus Christ. Paul said about peace in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Jesus lives in me. And I live by faith this life of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So he's saying here that living for Jesus will bring you peace in your life. Ephesians 4:30 talks about peace. Listen to the verse, what it says. We are sealed until the day of redemption. And that's peace. That tells me if I live 1 month or 10 years, I'm redeemed. I'm going to glory. Isn't that good to know? That you don't have to worry, and fight and try to get God's approval. When you had Jesus, you got God's approval. But now our lifestyle is something else. I'm not going to put you off scot-free right here, because Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, everything we do as our work for the Lord, God is going to judge that, not your sin, but your work for him. And so if you've done very well, you'll receive rewards. And if you didn't do very well and you didn't work for him, you won't receive any rewards. What these rewards are, I don't have any idea. You can speculate on them. But I think a lot of the reward that we're going to get would be the satisfaction of serving God here. I'm going to tell you something. When you've done something that God has asked you to do, you can say what you want, but there's satisfaction right here. Doesn't matter how it turned out. Your obedience to God brings satisfaction in your life. It satisfies you knowing that God said, I want you to do this. In 1 John 1:7, he says that this peace brings fellowship, and we have fellowship with God and one another. We understand each other as Christians. I mean, the lost world doesn't understand you. They think you're nuts. They think you're crazy. They don't understand why we are like we are. We give a lot of money maybe to God, or we do our tithing, our 10%, whatever it is. We go out of the way to do things for God. They think you're nuts. But we're the good nuts. We're not the crazy nuts. We're the good ones. And it doesn't matter what you do, if it's successful or not. If you have been obedient to God, listen to me, it's successful. It's successful. So believers, we have a present condition right here. We're called saints. A saint is one who's set apart or sanctified to God. You're not saved to become a saint. You are a saint. And now if I am sanctified, I should live like a sanctified person. I should live like God wants me to live, and it's very important here. So maybe in concluding right here, we see where, Jesus is our Prince of Peace. You can't help but think of Christmas when we talk about something like this, all the Christmas cards, which are beautiful. But Colossians, Paul wrote this. He said, he made peace through the blood of his cross. by him to reconcile, that's to bring back all things unto himself, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So God sent Jesus. Jesus is the pivotal point of everything. It's Jesus Christ. It's him. You go into Revelation, you see him at the right hand of God. So let me ask you a little question here. What about you? Do you possess that peace in your life right now? Maybe you're searching for it. Maybe you have some turmoil in your mind. And you can't find peace. And you're having a hard time doing it. Just get into the Word of God. I had a friend of mine tell me one time, when you're having troubles in your life, and it's true, get into the Psalms and read some of those Psalms where they praise God. You're going to find that in just a matter of time, you're going to be out your little condensed problem, and you're going to be praising God, and you're going to have freedom in your heart, freedom in your mind, and you're going to feel a lot better. First, we must know Jesus again as Savior. And secondly, he has to be the guide for your life. So, you know, all this makes sense if Christ is your Lord and Savior. If Jesus is, if you've come to Christ and acknowledged him as Savior. You know, and you can't, I don't think you can give a gospel message without saying that you have to come and receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Because gospel, which means good news, is Jesus. I mean, the only good news we have, the New Testament, is Jesus fulfills all the prophecies of the Old Testament. And now he is the current as he is here in the Gospels. And in Acts, where they started the church, now he is the head. And you know, and we worship Jesus by singing, by preaching, and by praying. So it's a peace that we can have. There's a song written by a guy by the name of W.D. Cornell and W.G. Cooper. One wrote the words, and the other wrote the music. I'm going to read you verses 2 and 3. This is what he says. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace. This song is peace. Bear it deep in the heart of my soul, so secure that no power can melt it away or mind it away while the years of eternity roll. I am resting tonight in this wonderful peace, resting sweetly in Jesus' control, for I'm kept from all danger by night and by day, and his glory is flooding my soul. And when I think, if I just lift my heart up and I said, Lord, you're the King, you're the Mighty One, you're in charge of everything, you know, you begin to sense and you begin to feel the Holy Spirit swelling up in you. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, and he will do that. Now, the chorus says this, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. This is Jesus. Sweep over my soul forever, I pray, and fathomless billows of love. So the billows of love that you see or should see in the life of a believer is the Holy Spirit that fills us and keeps us comfort in the Word of God, or gives us peace in the Word of God. So I'm going to close with this tonight. I don't know if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, but I'll invite you to do that, recognizing that Jesus died for you. And in doing that, all we have to do is to come to him. The Bible says we must repent. Repent means to make an about face or to turn around. So when I come to Jesus Christ, I am literally turning away from myself, and I'm turning to Jesus. And I'm asking him to come into my life and change me. And I can guarantee you he does that. That's the evidence of your salvation, that you've had a changed heart. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do. I don't care how religious and holy you might be. But when you're going to receive Jesus as your Savior, your attitude and your walk with God will be different. So it's primary. And he says, well, I'm a believer. I've been a believer for years and years and years. I don't know about you, but I have. I got saved at 37. God doesn't leave me alone as a believer. He's like all over me a lot of times. And why would it be that way? Because maybe I'm not functioning the way I should as a believer in Jesus Christ. His intent is good. He wants me to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't do this. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't get in your word today the way I should have. And when I do that, peace comes over your soul. So God gives us peace. Father, we thank you and we give you praise. We ask you tonight, Lord, to help us as we close the service, Lord, knowing that you love us so much that you sent Jesus to go to the cross for us. God, your peace is so satisfying. It's so filling, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that even in our troubled times, that you do minister to us in spite of who we are. I want to thank you, Lord, for Jesus, for the salvation in Christ, and the peace that we can have when we come and serve him, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.